So welcome back to another edition of Real Talk with Real People, a candid conversation with me, Dr. Caroline Bethea Jones. And this sixth segment of our podcast is called Authors Speak. I am here with my co-host, Miss Renee McKinley, and she's not here at the moment, but she's going to be joining us soon. And today we have a guest. I am happy to tell you that we have a guest, author Sylvia Brown Roberts, and she's here with me today. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about Sylvia, but when Sylvia gets on, she's going to talk about herself, because one of the things I know we love to do is talk about ourselves. But let me, before I talk about Miss Sylvia Brown Roberts, let me just tell you a little bit about my co-host. My co-host, Miss Renee Marshall McKinley, because she's a brand new author. She's the author of a book called Pouring, A Story of Sisterhood. Now, this is Renee's first time being an author, and she is so thrilled to be an author, and I'm so thrilled to have her here as my co-host. And like I said, she will be on. She's not going to abandon me today. She's just running a little bit late because Renee is learning how to swim. She's taking swimming lessons, and I think that's absolutely fabulous. Wow. Because I need to be taking some swimming lessons. But you know, we're going to talk about that later, because everybody knows that I want to be in the water, but I don't want to learn how to swim. But we're going to talk about that at another time on another podcast, because this podcast is called Authors Speak, and we're only going to talk about authors. Now, Renee has this book, Pouring, and she wrote this book with a group of women, her friends that have been her lifelong friends, and they got together and they put this book together, and it's called Pouring, A Story of Sisterhood, and it talks about their relationship and how they got together and how they stayed friends for a very, very long time. And I'm sure when Renee gets here, we'll talk a little bit about that. But at this moment, we have a guest, and my guest today is Miss Sylvia Brown Roberts. Sylvia Brown Roberts writes faith work stories. She creates thought-provoking characters and places them in realistic settings that challenge their faith. Her four novels in the Church Door series feature a woman who often struggles with faithful Christian living, like the rest of us, but she doesn't give up. Many readers say they identify with the lively characters in the Church Door series of novels. Book 5 in the series will soon be published, and I'm sure Sylvia will talk to us about book 5. And Sylvia is a retired from the public school system. She's worked there for 33 years, serving as a teacher, staff trainer, and teacher specialist. She holds a BA from Rutgers University and MA from Rider University. Please help me welcome my guest today, author Sylvia Brown Roberts. Thank you for being my guest today. How are you? It's good to see you again. I want to just say that. It's good to see you again.
Thank you so much. It's good to see you also. It's been a long time since we've seen each other.
It has
years,
been.
I believe. Yes.
I think at least 2 or 3 years. When's the last time you were? When was the last time you were at the conference?
I think that my last time at the NJEA convention had to be, it was before COVID.
Oh, okay.
Before COVID, because I didn't have to, because that kind of shut a lot of things down.
Yes.
Then I think they had a virtual one around 2021 or 20, but I didn't participate in that one.
Right.
So that's been a while.
It's been a while, but you know what? It is so funny how fate works, because we met up again through another site, and I'm trying to remember what was the name of that site. Alignment, I think it was called.
I forgot. Alignable? Was it Alignable, I think?
Yeah.
Or was it LinkedIn? It was LinkedIn or Alignable.
Alignable, or I think it was.
Yes.
Alignable. Yes.
And I said, I know her face.
And I'm saying, why do I know that name? And here we are. Here we are with our opportunity to talk, because the last time we did talk, I talked about having you on to my women's ministry, because we were going to talk about your books, but we were going to have a book club discussion. We didn't get around to it yet, but it's still upcoming. And I think now this is going to push us to the forefront, because in the summer we have those book club meetings. And so I think that if you are available, that we would love to have you speak at one of our book club meetings as well. But anyway, I am excited. I'm excited. So Sylvia, tell us about yourself. Tell us about yourself a little bit more than what the bio, because the bio never really speaks to the person. It just throws out some facts, and all these things are true. All of them are true. But let's talk about you. Let's get to the real nitty gritty. Tell us about yourself.
Well, about myself is I never realized, I retired in 2007, and I never realized that I would be as busy as I am in retirement. I think I'm almost as busy as I was when I was working in the school system. After I retired, I just goofed off for a year. I slept late. That was my joy, to sleep late. Then I started writing the draft of Church Doors, Behind Church Doors, which is the first novel in my Church Doors series. I've gotten involved a lot more with church activities now. I've been put in charge of the ladies' Bible class, and I work with, we don't have our children's classes back yet with that because COVID kind of knocked everything topsy-turvy.
Yeah, we all saw that. We all did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my gym was closed, so I had to learn how to work out at home. Yeah, and that pool thing sounds interesting to me, what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, it sounds interesting to me. Yeah, they were closed for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of a book club called Attitude, and we're actually having our book club meeting this Saturday. We're reading Black Cake by Charmaine, I think it's Wilkerson.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the name wrong.
Yes, yeah, I think it's Wilkerson.
Really, really interesting. So that would be a book club meeting I'm going to this Saturday. People tell me that it's on, Black Cake is on Netflix or Hulu as a movie.
As a
and
series.
I'm trying not to cheat. I don't want to cheat. I want to read the book.
Well, I cheated because I saw the series. I still have the book. I haven't even finished the book because once I started seeing the series, I'm like, do I want to read this book now? But I'm going to read the book. Because I have the book.
Okay. I'm tempted. I was reading last night and I'm like, this book is a lot of pages. So maybe I should just check out Hulu. And then I said, no, Sylvia, don't do that. But I can't promise I won't.
It was really good if you decide to watch it. Yeah.
I think I'm going to enjoy it. I'm enjoying the book so far. Yeah. I have my daughter is turns 30 this year. I cannot believe it.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, my family's doing well. My mother's 91 years old.
Ooh.
And she's a very feisty 91 year old. I'm praying I have her genes because she enjoys life. We look out for her, and she tells us don't try to boss her around. So
we don't. I love to hear that. 91 years old. I love to hear that. I do. I do love to hear that because, you know, you're hoping you have her genes, but I'm hoping we all got her genes right now.
I hear you.
I do know that. All right. So come on. You can keep talking.
The fifth book in the series I've gotten, I think when I met you initially, I may have had the first two or three books done.
I think the first two. Yeah.
Right. And so then, in 2020, the fourth one was published. And then I said, some people talking to me and coming to me on my website for my newsletter, they kept saying, well, what happens next? Then name a character. Well, did she marry him or not? What happened with the man who, the woman who said, your husband is the father of her teenage daughter? What happened with that? And they kept asking me questions. And I said, I got to write book five. When people get involved with your characters, you got to keep on giving it to them. You got to keep on keeping them interested. And when they want to have conversations about it in their book clubs, it compels an author to keep right on writing. So, we started making a movie from the first novel. in 2020 and 2017, 2018, we were shooting scenes in Baltimore. Some churches let us use their buildings there. Okay. And wouldn't you know it, COVID shut that down because we could not have the actors in, and some of them were SAG actors. Yeah. We could not have them on set because the COVID was an issue, and you can't film with all the actors with masks on their face. Still kind of recuperating from that, hoping we can get, we have a representative who's trying to get us another financial package now because time just kind of, a lot of the fundraisers we had helped us pay our actors while we were filming. Yeah. But now we're still praying that we'll get another breakthrough so we can continue because the message is timeless. You know, yes. People trying to be faithful, realizing they need faith, struggling with faith. It's everyday life. So that was a really exciting time when we saw that developing. But we haven't given up.
No, don't give up. I'm glad you haven't given up. I know how devastating that COVID was on all of the arts, actually. I felt that with the work we were doing with our ministry, we were doing a lot of drama stuff. I also was putting on plays, as you know. I remember telling you that I was also a playwright. And everything just shut down. And it kind of left you feeling a little bit. I even took up painting. I started painting because you know what happens when your creativity gets halted in one area. It kind of flows. It's like water. So it kind of flows
yes.
in another area. So because I couldn't yes. do the playwriting, I still was working on my books. But it wasn't the same as putting on a play. And you know how exciting that is because you were, putting on your play as
a
well.
Movie.
But you know what? I say that we're all going to get back to where we were, pre-COVID, because it takes a while for us to get our footing back, but you're going to get your footing back. But I see that my co-host has joined us.
Hello.
Hello there, Miss Renee Marshall.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I didn't want to interrupt because Sylvia, it was so captivating. I love that you were in production. How amazing is that? And on to book number 5.
Yes,
amazing
yes.
stuff. I came in yes. at the right time.
Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement.
Yes, you sure did, Miss Renee Marshall McKinley.
Yes, I'm here.
Listen, so Sylvia,
yes.
I want you to start from the beginning. And when I say from the beginning, what was your inspiration? What compelled you to write the first book? I mean, mm-hmm. I know what compelled you to write all the other ones because everybody was saying, okay, well, what's happening? But what compelled you? Because this is a very, and I told you that when I met you, this is a very interesting and forthright topic of discussion yes. and of writing. So what compelled you to write this particular story?
Book one started because the writing gene, I think I was a child when I was reading early as a child, and I was always writing poems or little stories, even as early as like maybe fifth grade. So yes. the printed word always fascinated me. And that might be because my mom's a reader and my dad was a reader. My mother's a retired teacher also. My father, do you remember encyclopedias? You may not remember them because, you know, I'm older than you.
Britannica, right? Was it Britannica?
Encyclopedias. The black people's house on the shelves. My dad would read the encyclopedia. And yes. every time we had questions about anything, my mom and my dad said, go look it up in the encyclopedia.
Exactly.
Go look it up in the dictionary. And they were serious about it. So that started, that got me in the word joy, I call it, word joy. So when I retired, all my life I've been in church. Sometimes more faithful than other, but still there.
Yes, yes.
And I used to always write notes. I wrote notes during the sermons because it kept me focused.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would go home and look at the notes, and I've got notebooks for years that I would write notes in church, what the minister said, the songs we sang that day, And I looked them over when I started retiring. I said, I need to write something with all, I got all this material here. I need to write something about this.
Yeah.
So I thought about a woman who, I mean, for many years, a lot of single women in the church, at least in our congregation, they were frustrated because they were told to marry a Christian man, but there weren't many there in the church.
Yes.
And some sisters visit a lot, and visit around, and then sometimes your parents will bring these brothers who you knew right away was like, I don't think this is going to be a good fit, but thank you very much. So, yeah. And I said, let me write about single women in the church who they want to do the right thing. They have a history. We all have histories.
Yeah.
And this character came to me, Nikki Mack. She is in her early 40s when she becomes a member of the church, but she's a successful woman. She's a successful educator. She has, you know, of course, her degrees. She has friends, but there's something missing. She doesn't really have a spiritual life at all.
Okay.
Her desire for that, something, it was like an itch you had to scratch. So she goes out one night to a club. She was bored on the weekends. She did all her work. You know, she was a super teacher during the week. She went to the local club. Somebody kept sending her drinks, and she took the drinks, but she's like, she wasn't really acknowledging the man who was sending them. She leaves the club after having that drink. That's the one the last one you shouldn't have had that one, but you had that one.
Mm-hmm.
She walks into her car, and this man follows her out of the nightclub, and he tries to. He said, you know, he didn't appreciate the fact that she wasn't being reciprocal after he was sending her the drinks, and at one point. He tries to attack her like he wants her to kiss him. Mm-hmm. There's this old man that comes through the parking lot. He's actually a deacon in the nearby church. Mm-hmm. He walks at night with his dog, but he also keeps a pistol in his pocket. He stops the altercation. He recognized the young man and said, "Boy, you know, I know you. You leave that woman alone. What is wrong with you?" And then, you know, he embarrassed the boy. He might have popped him a few times. And the young man goes away and leaves Nikki Mack alone. She's humiliated. She's embarrassed. And this older gentleman, he just says, "Baby, we all know this line. You were raised better than this.
Mm-hmm.
You were raised better than to stumble out of a club, very tipsy, headed to a car.
Oh, wow.
You know better than this. God loves you." And then so she starts to tell him her story. And he says, "Listen, babe. I'm a deacon at the church. You can see I'm here to help you. I'm not going to ever do anything to harm you. Just stop by." He gives her the church's address. "Stop by and see me at church sometime." She thought about it for a few days and a few weeks. And then she showed up at the church, and that began her new life. She didn't get baptized right away, but she started learning about the real, how real life can be if you have a spiritual focus, if you have faith in the positive.
Okay.
And that's her career. That's her career as a Christian.
Okay. So this is her story. So all five of these books is Nikki Mack's story.
She's the narrator.
Right. Yes. And so we're seeing her develop. We're seeing her growth. We're seeing her go from sinner to saint, right? Is that okay?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, because
she stumbles. She stumbles a lot, though, Caroline. Okay, she stumbles a lot, which is the meat of the book, because we all stumble.
Yes.
And people say, and so she never quits. Mm-hmm. When she messes up, she acknowledges it. She asks God to forgive her, and she keeps right on. She keeps right on stepping, trying to grow and crack.
Sylvia, may I ask? So, from your journals or your writings, from your listening to the sermons. Does this story parallel the journals at all, or is it all fictional?
It's considered Christian fiction, or some categorize it as inspirational fiction.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel, the biblical concepts that from the journals, they're in the book.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
The original in publication, that was an issue because they said, "Well, this is too much." I said, "But it's a book about the church. It's a book about a Christian walk. I can't ignore scripture.
Yeah.
You know, I can't ignore a scriptural concept." And they we went back and forth a little bit, but I won. And because we're talking about a woman in a walk of faith.
Yes.
And all the people around her. So there are no sermons in, well, wait a minute. There are little mini sermons in five books, but only enough to make a point for what the people who are hearing them are dealing with. It's the characters that make these books strong, because they're relatable characters. Everybody knows somebody in church who talks all the time.
Sure.
There's always that cranky one. Mm-hmm. There's the one who wants to sit in that same seat every Sunday.
Yeah.
Don't you sit in her seat. You can, and so on and so on and so on.
Right,
so I boost those
characters, in these books.
Yes, the characters make the book.
Yes, yes, that's great. All right.
I had another pick
of characters. Renee, you were about to say something?
Yes, I have one more question.
Sure.
And so you mentioned that you and the publicist were going back and forth. So this is not a self-published book. These are not self-published.
Actually, if I said publicist, I misstated. It was the publishers, the people who I work with a company called iUniverse, which is represented as assisted self-publishing.
Yes. Yeah,
in the sense that I don't have to go somebody I don't go to different places to get different things done. It's all done at iUniverse. And they even provide the Getty images to help you decide on the cover. Now you can have somebody design one for you, but they do. You don't have to. I don't have to run around to different places because, frankly, that's not my thing. And it's worked for me for five books so far, so I may stay with it.
Yes,
and they even do the editing. And now you can, once they do the initial editing and you want to do some more sophisticated levels of it, you're going to pay a little more for that.
Okay.
I'm blessed is that I have editors in my friend circle. That's what they do.
Nice. So
they would edit, they would be the beta readers for me. They would edit stuff for me. And I'm a writer. English major. One of the majors I have. So I had a little bit of advantage, but I had people around me who could help me do things. So it's self-publishing, but I'm not independent. I'm working with a team.
Yeah.
But you do pay a fee for it.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Yes. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Caroline.
Thank you for clarifying that, because I didn't go through a self-publishing house.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I'm a self-publisher, as you know, but I did all of the, and I know exactly what you're talking about, because I did all of the work myself. And that's why I missed a couple of things. Okay. But
we're learning, right?
Yes, it was a learning process.
The miss is learning.
I wanted, Renee, to go through that process so that I could learn.
Yes, absolutely.
Even with the mistakes, I'm proud of the mistakes.
Absolutely.
It was through the mistakes that I was able to understand the process.
That's right. That is correct.
So I was really, so thank you for sharing that,
Sylvia,
because it does give us a kind of a definition. And I tried to explain that to others at some point, where when I would tell them that I was a self-publisher, and the first thing they would ask me was particularly what you were just talking about, but I didn't go through a self-publishing house. I did all of it.
You did it the hard way.
I will sit here and I will admit that I did it the hard way.
But it works for you.
But you know what, Sylvia? What I wanted when I first started over 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 2001, whatever that is, right?
Right.
I really wanted to understand the process of the whole self-publishing thing. I wanted to learn, because it was a learning process for me.
Sure.
For me,
I self-published, right? For me, that wasn't the hard way. That was the easy way for me, because one, you don't know about all the other avenues that are out there, right? So Caroline self-published herself. You went through a publishing house. So when you don't know those terms, you don't know whether it's easy or hard until you keep bumping your head and say, oh Lord, this is too hard.
So maybe next time.
Right.
So Sylvia, let's talk about, I want to talk about characters, because I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to invite you, Renee and I are going to invite you in to our collective writing what do we call that? Our collective writing assignment, right? Yeah. So we have a collective writing assignment that I gave Renee and that I have offered all of the writers, the authors who come on this podcast. I've given them an opportunity to be a part of this collective writing assignment. We're going to write a short story. And I gave you a scenario. We'll talk about the scenario later. But in the point of where we are right now, we are still building our character. So you are the perfect author to talk to about character building. How do you come up with your character, Nikki Mack? And tell me the process you went through of making her a believable character, because that's a very important part of the writing process.
Nikki Mack is a composite of a lot of people, of several women I know.
Okay.
And what I had to be very careful about was not making it perfectly, making it transparent to everybody that, oh, that's her friend Joyce. Oh, that's her friend Carol. Oh, and you know, because I would have been in trouble. So you take nuances. You take nuances of a person. Like, one of my best friends is a very, very outgoing person. She's the core of a character of Nikki Mack's best friend. Mm-hmm. But I also put in attributes from other people, so it's not directly identifying my friend. I won't say her name. I won't directly identify. You take bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. You have a core character. Like, I knew Nikki Mack was a woman who had a past, and she wanted to go beyond the past. And so you had to learn about her promiscuity earlier. Mm-hmm. But I would also throw something else in, which is something that's true of another person I know, is that she's straightforward. You know, sometimes people try to be tactful. So you take attributes of different people. Yes. And then you put them in a character.
Yes.
You never want a character to say, that's a daggone shame. I did not tell her she could write a story about me. No. Right. I don't want that. I don't want that. But and then sometimes it's people you knew from your history. Uh-huh. It might even be a movie character, but you do composites. Always be careful, because your job is not to offend anybody. You're trying to share the story with people. Sometimes Nikki Mack has some of my traits.
Yes.
But not all of them.
Yeah.
Physically, when I do, some writers don't do physical descriptions, but I do it to an extent. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't say Nikki Mack is 5'1" because I'm 5'1".
Yeah.
So people are going, you know, oh, I knew that was her.
That was
no, I understand. Yes. Yes.
I changed her hair up, I changed the hairstyles, the complexions. So,
yeah,
but there's always a piece of every character that catches the reader's eye. And that's the piece I work with the most. Carlos, for example, and I try to mix it up culturally. Mm-hmm. Carlos, mm-hmm. for example, he's Latina, but he's just a cut up. And, you know, all through the church service, you know, he's doing the ushering, but he's always doing something mischievous, if you will. But it makes him kind of appealing to some readers.
Okay.
Because he's a good hot mess. That's who Carlos is.
Okay.
But like I said, keep components, and it's everybody has something interesting about them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Many of us have a quirk. You know, some people, you know, that might be that person that.
But that's where my struggle comes. With this assignment, it started way back. Carolyn had had an idea about creating characters, right? So my very first book is a it's a true story based on all the girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And Caroline's challenge to me was, Renee, come on, you can write a character story. And I said, I cannot. And I am learning tips from the authors that I, you know, that we speak to. How to think out of the I cannot.
Yes.
Even though I hear you saying you're taking bits and pieces of you and fictionalizing it. Yes. I just don't see that for myself. If I'm thinking about myself, I'm going to write about Renee. So I am still in the baby infant stages of trying to develop. So that's where we're going with this, to try to understand how other people come up with their characters. And it's really tips for me because Caroline knows how to do it. So
so Renee, you're writing fiction?
No. I only wrote one book, and the book was a true story. It was about nine girlfriends, and it's really a story of sisterhood. They wrote pieces of the book, and I talk about them in the book. We all collaborated together. Yeah. So that was my very first book that came out in July of last year. So when Caroline approached me with this concept of, let's do this author's speak, and I was like, yeah. But then she threw a curve in there and said, let's do this assignment. And I said, challenge accepted. But, you know, yeah, I still know my struggle. So thank you for sharing how how you come up and develop.
Well, Sylvia, I'm an author. Yes, we all know that. But I'm also a teacher by nature. So I'm always trying to stretch people. Right. So I want to stretch Renee. Because yes. I'm so proud of her. She wrote her first book, and it's really great. And like she says, it's a collaboration with her sisters. It's a story of sisterhood. But my challenge is to get Renee into more of a imaginative writing. Ooh. I want her to write fiction, right? And Sylvia, I want to thank you for sharing that part of the character. Yeah. Because her first assignment for writing this short story was to first create a character. And so we're all doing it. I mean, I already have my character. I already told her that. I already wrote like three pages already. She's like, wait a minute now. Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait, I have one page.
But yeah, characters are very, very important to me. Mm. When I did my characters, because my book, Someone to Love, Fragile Heart, and Deception, which I'm still working on, is like you, Sylvia. It's my main character, Stephanie Collins, and the story is about her. But I have characters around her, like her husband, Terry, and Justin, and Eve, the girls, the best friends. We have Eve, we have Jay, we have Tasha, and all of them have their own personalities, and they can't be one dimensional. We can't have characters looking, sounding, and acting the same. They have to have their own set of characters. Stephanie is one way, Eve is another way, Terry is another way, you know. And I was telling Renee that I literally had to become schizophrenic because, we're going to talk about that, Sylvia, because in order for me to really write these characters authentically, I had to become them. I had to walk in their shoes. I had to do what they would do. So today I might be Eve, and Eve is spicy, and she is very loud and matter-of-factly, and you know, not very nice at times. And I had to be that for a while, because when I'm writing her story, it needs to be authentic, right? Yes. So my next question to you, Sylvia, do you find that same way? Do you do it that same way, or do you find a different way to create your characters? Do you become your characters, or do you just let it ride? How do you do it?
I do a lot of what you do. I do a lot of that. But and interestingly enough, who I am today is not who I was when I was in my 20s.
Sure.
Or my 30s. Or my 40s. And I had some traits back then.
Yes.
That I can call back up. I can recall them. I'm not that way anymore. But I was.
Right.
I remember.
Absolutely.
And I can use that because it's still up there. Sure. You know, it's always still up there. And you know, friends, I wasn't very patient with people when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Or I would cut you off. But by the grace of God, I'm not like that anymore. But I remember that. And I use that trait in I can use that trait in a character.
Okay.
I sometimes I pull a lot from me sometimes I'll go through a session where I purposely put myself in that former behavior headspace, and then I start writing.
Yes,
writing dialogue.
You write as that character because you're now writing as that character would write.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're saying the things that character would say.
Mm-hmm.
So today,
I'm feeling it. You're feeling it. So you can put it on paper.
So it can be on paper. So in this thing, I may not be Caroline. I might be Jade at this moment. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I have to really be that.
What I'm also hearing though, even though you're creating this character, you're still, some of it is still based on yourself, right? You said you're recalling some of it. So
some of it.
Yeah. Some of it. Yes. Not the whole thing, Renee.
Not the whole thing.
You're thinking that you have to be totally you, and you don't. You have an imagination. I want you to dig into your, yes, you do. I want you to dig into your imagination. Okay. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Renee, do you do a lot of fiction reading?
I used to a long time ago. I no longer. I do a lot of no longer. Years ago, I used to do a lot of reading.
Okay.
I do not now.
Okay, let me ask you another question. You may not do fiction reading, but do you go to movies or do you watch television? See, for me, what got me started with this whole writing thing was watching soap operas.
I never loved the soap operas.
But it doesn't have to be soap operas.
Television I didn't. So I watch, you know, let me just be honest. The type of shows that I love are True ID. All the crime shows.
I watch those too.
If it's about murder, death, and killing, those are my shows.
I know. I don't know why, but I like them too.
I know. And so for me, those are real stories, right? It's not
real stories. Yes.
Yes. It's and that's how I see things as just plainly real life. I just see it as real life, not that it's made up at all. I don't see
but
that.
But it is made up, Renee.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
But isn't it made up? Or are you talking about true crime stories?
True crime. That's what I like. True crimes. The ID channel. The real McCoy.
Okay.
That's what I watch.
Okay. Well,
and that's, it's also difficult for me to try to venture out because I like the truth in the products, the things.
All right, I get you. Okay, so Sylvia, what advice would you give our newbie writer?
Yes,
Renee Marshall.
I'm trying to process it. Renee, are you interested in doing fiction, or would you rather do what your first book is about, where you're like, it's real people talking about real things. Is that your preference?
Okay. So I am totally in line with real. However, for this assignment, Caroline has challenged me to to be creative, and I struggle. So she asked me to come up with a name and a little setting, which I did, and I struggled with that. I was like, oh God. Okay, let me get a name. And I had to, and Caroline, let me just tell you this. The names that I told you, those were my middle names.
She was still being creative. You were still
still creative. You know what I do?
But it's still real to me.
Yeah. Oh, I make up character names often from inanimate objects.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could make it, you know, let's say I look at a lamp.
Matt's Coffee House. Matt's.
You can look at a lamp and say, okay, I'm going to name this person. Her last name is going to be Lamplighter. Anything based on a color, you can look at a bronze. Okay, what can I do? What can I do with the bronze to make that a name? The stories you write, the stories you read, it, your ID channel movies.
Yes.
Take one character out of that movie, whatever that episode is.
Okay.
Take that person out of the episode. Name that person. Any name you want to name that person.
Okay.
And let's let something close to what happened or something make up.
Right. What just put a spin happened. On it.
Is she the detective or is she the victim or is she the person who's going to be the victim of a crime? You can make up a different story with the character that you're creating and have her react to what you're going to let happen to her in that story.
Okay.
So you're really creating a character and writing a true crime story about her. And unfortunately, there's enough in the world going on in crime.
There is enough.
That you could come up with all kinds of things.
Absolutely. Yeah, Caroline set me up, right? So she gave me the outline.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And I see now how I can still take real life, Caroline. I'm sorry. I could take real life.
It is okay.
Put a twist on it. Okay. It is okay.
So, Sylvia, let me give you the scenario. All right. So, the scenario, and I'm from the top of my head because I wrote it down and I don't know where it is right now, but Renee, you probably wrote it down.
Somewhere.
So, a woman, and this is, and I have to say it this way because this is all I think I gave you, Renee. A woman is seeing a therapist.
Yes.
To help her get over her fears.
Yes.
The therapist tells her to take a trip all by herself to a Caribbean mm-hmm. island.
Yes.
Where she meets a man and has an affair. Did I say a man? Did I say a man?
Yes. A man or someone. No, you said a man. Yeah, well, she meets
did
a man.
A man?
Okay. Yeah, well, we'll say someone. We'll just say someone.
Okay, right. Because I'm not sure I said a man because I was trying to keep it as vague as possible. So right. Like where she meets someone and has an affair. Because yeah. I wanted to keep that scenario as vague as possible.
Right.
And the reason why is because when you have a collective story, you're getting everybody else's
that's right.
Their mind.
So absolutely.
An affair doesn't have to be the type of affair that I'm talking about.
There correct.
Are many definitions of an affair.
Yes.
Meeting someone doesn't have to be a man.
That's right.
It doesn't even have to be a woman.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So yes. What I'm trying to do is open up imagination here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said fears. I didn't tell you what fears. We don't know what she's afraid of.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And I said a therapist. You don't know if this therapist is a male or a female.
Correct.
So this opens up doors for you to be able to be as creative as you can be. And by the end of the year, because this whole entire story is due in December. So you've got a lot of time to create this story.
Yes.
And what I wanted to do was all of my guests, including you, Sylvia, I wanted to see what you all came up with in December.
I love this. I love this
concept. Yes. Then I want to take those stories and put it in a book. The same story written by however many people is going to participate.
Yep.
So you can see the different scenarios. So,
so this is going to actually be a finished product. It's going to be a book at the end of the year.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's an interesting.
So would you like to be a part of this collective story writing? Would you take the challenge? We're offering you a challenge. Are you going to take it?
I can take a challenge, but you're going to have to write it down for me because if I don't write down everything, I can't remember. I'm at that age. If I don't write it down, it doesn't get done.
I have it written down, so I'll take the written down part and email it to you. Okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds Sylvia good. Like me because I have to have everything written down. When she first told me about it, I said, oh gosh, I got to go back and listen to the first podcast. Because this was... Couple of shows,
Shows back, yes.
But again, so I can see what I got to write.
You know what it is, Renee and Sylvia. I really want to have fun with this podcast, while at the same time, I need to spark my own imagination.
Yes.
We're gonna talk a little bit about it now, and then my next guest that we have on this show, I'm hoping that we can talk about writer's block. Because right now, I think I'm in a little bit of a writer's block. Now, and it's so funny, Renee, because I'm like 207 pages in to Deception. And I still have a writer's block.
Wow, you're so close.
You've come so far.
I'm so close. And yet so far.
Oh, shake it off.
So I'm really hoping that being part of the podcast, being part of the writing the short story, I will connect somewhere and be able to finish this story. I'm literally 207 pages in, and
this is Deception, right?
This is Deception, which is the last of the trilogy.
Get your books. Why don't I have them?
Someone to Love, Fragile Heart, and Deception is the last part of that. Together in a bow. And that's the problem. Trying to tie this all together in a bow. You know.
Yeah.
But I'm working on it. I'm working it out.
That sounds interesting. This is not a series, though. It is a series?
It's a series. It's Stephanie Collins is my character on all three, and the story is about her. But the story is about her, but the other characters have their own little storyline as well. So they kind of all come together. Terry, her husband, it's almost like a he say, she say sort of book. So you're getting Stephanie's story and you're getting Terry's story. You're getting Terry telling his story and the friends around him and the associates around him. And you're getting Stephanie telling her story and her associates and her friends around her. And then you have a collective story, the two of them together because they're married and they got two children. So you have the family story, but then you have two separate stories.
This sounds interesting. Had you written this when I met you a few years ago?
Yes, I did. Someone to Love was published in 2001. Yeah, 2001.
Wow. I'm gonna check it out. This all sounds interesting to me.
It's so good.
The info. So Someone to Love is first, Fragile Heart is second, and then Deception is going to close everything up as soon as I finish it.
Now, do you think after you finish Deception, do you think you're going to add a fourth one to the series?
Well, you know, one of the things that I was able to do in the book, and we're going to talk about this with you too, Sylvia, because I see that you have opportunity to do that as well as I see your series. Because my daughter Kiana gave me this idea. Because my characters have a storyline themselves. So when I finish Stephanie's story, it gives me an opportunity to literally write Eve's story. In the book and write Felicia's story.
Carolina's a little bit like my series.
Yes,
all the female, all the characters in there, they're all talking at one point or the other. It's just Nicky Mack as the narrator is telling you what they're saying. But it's a whole you got a whole lot of spicy things going on in there.
Yes, and so you can pull from those stories because there are a lot of things that have been left. Deception is supposed to close some of that up, but it's not, it can't possibly close everything up, which is going to, it's going to leave me with an opportunity to say, hey, like they're asking you, hey, what happened to your story?
I love that. I love to hear that.
Felicia, when she disappeared out of the book, hey, what happened to Justin? Now, Justin wasn't Someone to Love. He was not in Fragile Heart. We didn't hear from him in Deception.
What happened? Yeah, I like that. That's a good thing.
It leaves me open to write a story about Justin. What happened to Justin?
Right.
After Someone to Love. What happened?
I had to smile when you were saying Collins as the last name. I said, she really did like those shows. Because what? Jackie Collins, right?
Uh-huh. It's so funny because that was subconscious, Renee. Yes. Subconscious.
Jackie Collins, one of the two of them.
That was a subconscious thing. Subconscious. But you're right. I love all the dramas. I watch all the dramas. All of them. I mean, I watch. Drama is my thing. So I watch all of the dramas. You know?
Yeah.
Because that's why I love playwriting, because then I perform the drama.
Yeah,
I love it. I do.
Cool.
So Sylvia, we're happy that you are finally joining us today. I'm so glad I reconnected
glad
with you.
Glad to be here with you.
And I'm grateful because we can stay connected now.
Absolutely. Yes.
So now that we've connected, so,
and I got a new author friend.
Yeah. Renee,
yes, darling.
For you, Renee, because you get to put all these authors in your pocket, because now you're part of the author circle.
Yes.
And this is how you're going to get all of the tidbits you need to really go in there and do the things that you need to do. Because I'm certain that Miss Sylvia Brown won't mind you, you know, bending her ear a little bit to find out some things about characters.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
It'd be a pleasure to work with you, Renee.
So
much. This is really, Caroline might have created it for herself, but I think she created it for me too.
Both of us, Renee, I had both of us in mind with this. I keep trying to tell you, I need all the help I can get too. And you know, the thing is that writing a short story is, I'm not saying it's easy because sometimes it's hard to write a short story,
but
writing a short story can really get you into some training, because I think for me, and Sylvia, you can tell me how you feel about this as well. When I write each of my chapters, it's almost as if I'm writing a short story, because each of those chapters are its own story.
Oh, wow.
So as you're learning how to write a short story, it'll put you in the right lining for writing a novel, because each of your chapters can become a short story. Mm-hmm. As you put them all together, it becomes a
just as long as we make the reader feel the character.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're on the right path. We're on. Mm. Sometimes you write. Haven't you started writing a character one time and something, and you don't like her, but you keep writing about her, but you get that she's the villain, if you will.
Whoa!
You got to put that into you, into the character, but you're gonna feel it yourself. And that sometimes you, someday you say, I don't even want to read about her today because she's just too funky for me. You know, because that's what you got to make the person feel the character.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sylvia, you have said a mouthful.
Wow.
In the beginning, when I first wrote Someone to Love, I actually used to go out and, you know, book clubs would read the book, and then they would invite me in to do the author talk. And I promise you, my husband would be sitting back and he'd be like, oh my God, they're talking about these characters like they're real. They were real to them. They were talking about how much they couldn't stand Terry, and oh my God, Stephanie's getting on my nerves, you know? That's how real they were. It's like, it's like you reach into this book and slap her upside her head, you know? I just want to slap her upside her head because they get to you. Feel them right there, like you said. And it's like, oh, these are real people.
Yeah.
These are people you just made up. But if your readers can feel like real people, and they do the things that they are doing inside this book, then you are doing something wonderful.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. So you're listening to Author Speak, and I am here with my co-host, Miss Renee Marshall McKinley. And we got our brand new friend, Miss Sylvia Brown Roberts. And she's the author of the Behind Church Door series. Is that what it's called?
Or
is
it just the Church Doors series of novels?
Church Doors series. Okay. Yes. So it's Behind Church Doors was your first one, right?
Yes.
And then Beyond Church Doors.
And Beyond Church Doors, that's correct.
And then Behind and Beyond Church Doors.
Ooh.
Right?
Promises. Yes, they're those subtitled Promises. Yes.
And then you're working on Church Doors?
No. Church Doors Book 4, Won't Quit. And now,
yes.
So the one that's at the publisher now is More Grace, Church Doors Book 5.
Okay, More Grace. Okay. All right. Now, Miss Sylvia Brown, when I was doing my research about you, I also see here that you record a CD.
We did a while back. My sister is a professional singer, vocalist. She's a coloratura soprano.
Okay.
My brother is a fantastic we come from a family of singers also.
Okay.
And we wrote Good News. I think we I may even have some of those left. We did some CDs many years ago. I think they're on, what's that music website? CD Baby? It used to be called CD Baby. Oh, we released each of the songs CD, baby. Okay. But anyway, yeah, we did. We did a studio session. We chipped in some money and said, let's make it a professional piece give to people.
Right.
And yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, it's called what's it called?
It's called Good News.
Said it. Oh, thank you. You know, it's getting late. My brain is going to.
Yes. We all know I shut down at 8 o'clock too.
Okay, what? It's an a cappella CD of spiritual songs.
Yes. Yes.
By Sylvia, soprano Peggy Brown, and tenor Raymond Brown. And it's available on Amazon.com. And it's Peggy Brown CD Good News. I was like, okay.
Yes. I didn't know. You're a detective, Caroline.
Oh, she's thorough.
Who knows she's me knows I am a detective. I'm going to find this honey.
I love that tidbit about you and your family. That's wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's wonderful. All right, I'm going to tell you a secret. I also recorded a CD. Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. See, Sylvia, we got so many things in common that we have to We have to.
That's so nice.
Wait a minute. I thought you were working on it. When did it come out?
It actually came out March 24th, Renee McKinley.
Wow.
Of this year? Wait.
Yes.
We were just, with Sylvia, she and I, she was just telling me about this. She didn't give me a drop date or anything. So this is news to me too.
It is news because Renee knows me and she knows that I just drop things and I don't talk about it. I just drop it.
I'm like, wait a minute, what? We were just talking about it.
Yes.
So what's the call, Caroline?
Well, actually the CD is under my husband, the brother AJ, Introducing Caroline. And it's 7 or 8 songs. And it's what happened was it's what I call my legacy CD because I love the art. I'm painting, I'm doing plays, I'm reader's theater, music, all that stuff. And when I was talking about my legacy and talking about the things that I wanted to leave behind for my children's children. And I said, I told my husband, I want to do this CD because I'm a songwriter. I wrote these songs and, you know, I want to sing these songs. So I want my children to see another side of me. My children know that side of me. I want my grandchildren to see that side of me. So it's my legacy CD. So my husband helped me put it together. It's called The Lasting Love, the CD itself. But the CD is under... my husband's introducing me. So it's the brother AJ introducing Caroline. And it's just Caroline because I wear so many hats, as everybody knows.
Yes.
I just really want to just be simple Caroline sometimes.
I love it. I love
that. That's really cool. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Available on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. I'll send you all the links. So I'll make sure you all get all the links. But I love Sylvia that we have so many things in common. I find that I have these interviews that I have all these things in common with people and I love it. So I want to thank you for being with us this evening. Our time is up and I hate that our time is up because I'm having so much fun with you.
But, This is great.
Yes, but
thank both of you.
Yes, you know what this means? It means that we have to get back together again. But I'm hoping I'm going to see you again soon because I'm going to check on everyone who says they want to be part of the collective short story.
Yes.
Because I'm going to stay in touch with all of the authors to see where they are, to see how far they've gotten. It's not due into the end of the year, of course, but I just want to stay connected with all the authors. And just let them know that, come on, let's make this happen. I'm dependent on you all to show our new author here, Renee.
Yes.
How easy it is to write a short story.
You're going to be fine, Renee. You're going to be good.
I do not say no. I have accepted. I'm biting my fingernails, but I will do it.
You're going to do it. You're going to do it.
Thank you.
And now you have another author who's going to help you out with this. Sylvia Brown.
Robert.
Sylvia Robert.
I'm a hyphenated woman.
I'm a hyphenated woman, too. She's a hyphenated woman, too.
All three of us.
Yes. It's a hyphenated women.
Yes, we are.
Hey, that'd be a good title for a story.
Ooh, hyphenated women? Which one of us going to write it?
I don't know, but I like all this. This is good inspiration here.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Do you feel all this inspiration?
That might be another collaborative story right there.
That's another collaborative story.
Hyphenated women.
Love it.
Love it. Me too. All right, folks, we've come to the end of our show tonight. I want to thank you for listening. Thank my co-host, Miss Renee Marshall McKinley, and special guest, Miss Sylvia Brown Roberts. I am Dr. Caroline Bethea Jones, and this is Author Speak, and we will see you next time. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you. Thank you.